We start the third hour by talking some basketball. I am joined by a senior writer at SB Nation. He is also an ultra marathoner, Paul Flannery, joining me. Paul, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Thanks a lot.
Got to talk to you about the Celtics, Paul. You know that. They beat Philadelphia 114-112 last night, and they closed out a series where four wins were accomplished in a two-possession game. So what do you make of the way Boston executed in the final minutes last night, and really, Paul, in each of those wins?
Yeah, no, they were better at the end of games, and that was the difference. And, I mean, it was chaotic. It was messy, but they like that. I mean, that's Marcus Smart's, you know, home environment is messy. And, you know, they took it to Philly at the times when they needed to. I can tell you this. There were people in that organization, the Celtics, I mean, who really, really wanted to get that over with last night because they were really concerned that the Sixers had finally started to figure things out on them. They executed better down the stretch. They played with more urgency throughout the series, and frankly, they surprised me. I had the Sixers in six coming into it, and the Celtics took it to them.
Paul Flannery joining us. Paul, I was going to say about the Celtics. I mean, what do you know about the Celtics after this series that maybe you did not know going into the series?
Well, I know that I'm not going to bet against them anymore. Jason Tatum, for one thing, this was not the Jason Tatum we saw during the regular season. We saw flashes of it, snippets of it, but we didn't see it consistently game in and game out. He's really good, and that obviously gives them something they haven't had in the past, which is a guy who can create his own shot. Al Horford has been phenomenal throughout these playoffs. I mean, in a LeBron-less universe, he's been the best player in the Eastern Conference during the postseason. And then Terry Rozier, you know, he's a real confident guy. I don't think Terry is surprised, but I think the rest of us are surprised that he's really handled that starting point guard role and done a tremendous job. I mean, he was a difference maker early on in that series.
We're talking to Paul Flannery. Paul, go back to Al Horford for a minute. It's amazing what he means to them exactly. I mean, Brett Brown said afterwards, quote, I mean, how good is this guy? Really, if we didn't appreciate Al Horford by now, we'd better wake up. Can you explain exactly what he's meant to the Celtics during this postseason?
Yeah, no, he's been tremendous because defensively, defense is Al Horford's calling card, and we still don't really judge defense all that well. We can see blocks, and we can see the big man doing things and the guy on the ball, but Horford guarded Ben Simmons, and he guarded Joel Embiid, and he did so without help on either one of them, and that was the whole key to their game plan because the second they had to bring help, especially on Embiid, those shooters would start to pick him apart. So Horford did that, and he stayed in front of Simmons. He mirrored him the whole way, and he battled with Embiid. And then, you know, the other thing that he can do is he's a really good playmaker out on the perimeter. And what they did in this series that they haven't done before is they went to him on the post when they need buckets, and he delivered that. So all these things about, you know, average Al, this, that, and the other, he's the non-star all-star, forget about it. He is that good, and he's been playing tremendously.
You know, I keep repeating this, Paul, but it makes no sense. But how is Boston in the conference finals, despite the fact that they do not have Gordon Hayward or Kyrie Irving? How do you explain that?
I think a lot of it has to go back to the way Brad Stevens approaches this team from start to finish, which is, you know, everybody talks about being on a day-to-day basis. He really believes in being in the moment and going from day-to-day, not making excuses for who's not available, playing with who he has, and that permeates that entire team. You know, it's really funny talking to some of these guys, Jim, because they're young in a lot of ways. They're 20, 21 years old. They have really bought into the concept of mindset, the book by Carol Dweck, which is a big point of emphasis for Brad Stevens, which is staying in the moment and, you know, and living in it and not worrying about tomorrow, not worrying about yesterday. And I think that has served them well throughout the rest of the season. I mean, it's weird. They're the only ones who are not surprised. And I think, you know, we should probably recognize that that is a big part of their DNA.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that book. I think Eric Spoelstra, wasn't he real big on that book,
yep,
too?
So Stan Van Gundy, a lot of coaches. Thibodeau, yep.
Paul Flannery joining us. Now, what was Boston able to do, for instance, against Simmons? I mean, many teams were not able to really deal with this guy during the regular season. Miami wasn't able to handle this guy in the first round. What was Boston able to do against him to make it so tough on him?
They did two smart things. One is they got back in transition all the time. I mean, they did not really go after the offensive boards too much. So they got back in transition, and Baines was huge in this because Baines would take up the space, the area around the free throw line, and prevent it. And then also get back out to Joel Embiid. So a lot of teams miss that, and they get run over in transition. So they cut off the transition game. And then Horford is big enough to stay in front of him. The advantage that Simmons has is that the guards can't really stay in front of him because he can just back him down. And Horford can obviously keep him in front because, look, I mean, I think Simmons is a wonderful player. He had my vote for Rookie of the Year. But his range is about 5 feet. And if you can keep him out of there, you can really sort of cut them off at the head.
Paul Flannery joining us. All right, so what about Brad Stevens? He's done an amazing job in the season and during the postseason, almost to the point where you can make it all about him and forget about the players, Paul. So what's the fine balance or the right balance of appreciation for what Stevens is doing and what his players are doing?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. That drives him crazy. I know him pretty well, and that really bothers him. I think Brad deserves an awful lot of credit for getting them to this place, as we talked about earlier, and he's tremendous at making in-game adjustments, tactical adjustments. He's really, really good at that. But look, it's the players. It's Tatum. It's Jaylen Brown, who had a bad hamstring, comes off, and I don't know what he shot last night. It was like 10 for 13 or something like that in an elimination game. The kid's 21 years old. We talked about Rozier. We talked about Horford. We talked about all these guys. They're good players. Marcus Smart, these are good players, and he's put them in position to win. So it goes hand in hand for sure, of course. But, you know, they're not getting to this point without some talent. And I think people need to recognize that they have talent, more talent, frankly, than they had last year.
We're talking to Paul Flannery. All right, so you have LeBron now, and Toronto, literally nothing worked against LeBron. They have no answer for him. They never have had one. In the first round, Indiana did a pretty good job, made him work for everything. And, in fact, it looked like they might not survive that first round. Now we go forward. LeBron is at the height of all his powers. What do you think Stevens does, or how does he go about trying to scheme against LeBron?
Yeah, the first thing is, what do you do with him, right? And I think the Celtics have a little bit of an advantage over Toronto in that their guards can get up and pressure. And, you know, they can kind of make him uncomfortable, a lot like Indiana did. They have really good size to handle Kevin Love and that kind of thing, because I think LeBron's going to go crazy. He's going to go off. They're going to throw three or four different guys at him. The key to beating the Cavs is denying that Kevin Love, Kyle Korver action and keeping Tristan Thompson off the boards. Tristan Thompson has killed the Celtics the last 3 or 4 years with offensive rebounds. So if they can minimize those two aspects, then they absolutely have a chance, provided they make enough shots. I think LeBron's going to have huge nights in this series, big, big, big performances. And, you know, you got to have to live with that a little bit. It's when the other guys get going that you have a problem.
All right, so stay on that topic for 1 minute. For instance, when you look at the difference between how Cleveland played against Indiana and then how they played against Toronto, is it just a matter of the matchups, or maybe did Kevin Love finally find something?
Yeah, I think it's matchups which led to Kevin Love finding something. I mean, the Pacers put Thaddeus Young on him, who's kind of an unheralded player, but, you know, he's got a quickness advantage on him and a strength advantage on him. The Celtics have a bunch of guys like that could hurt him. Toronto, that's a tough matchup. You know, Ibaka didn't do much. Valanciunas didn't do much against him. So I think that's really where it comes down to. In a weird way, I think Toronto was a better team than Indiana, but they matched up a little bit worse than Indiana did.
Paul Flannery joining me for a few more moments. So before I let you go, Paul, let me ask you about the Sixers one last time. So then, considering what happened to them in that series, what's their biggest priority in the offseason? Is it Ben Simmons and his continued growth, or is it something else?
I mean, I think they got to get better internally, Simmons and Embiid. I was a little taken aback, Jim, by the fact that the Sixers kept talking about the future. And they kept talking about, you know, like, we got time. And, you know, maybe, probably, yeah, but these opportunities don't come along very often. So I think they got to get focused now. No more underdog, no more surprise. Like, they are going to come into the season with a target on their back, especially Simmons and Embiid. And those guys have to keep getting better. I think they have a chance to get another really good player. I mean, there's, you know, people like to whisper about LeBron. I don't know if that's possible or not. But I think they need another guy in there. Maybe it's Markel Fultz. Maybe it is. Maybe it's Dario Saric. I don't know. But when you looked at the Celtics and the Sixers from top to bottom, yeah, Simmons and Embiid are great. Was there really that much different talent-wise, 3 through 9? I'm not sure there was. So I think they have to continue building that roster, and they have to figure out what they're going to do with J.J. Redick, because, you know, it would be perfect for him to come back, but I don't know, they may not be able to pay him.
So do you think that when they look back on this series, will they think to themselves, it is part of the process, we were actually ahead of schedule, and it's going to help us ultimately? Or are they going to look back on that and say, hey, listen, it was right in front of us. We had an opportunity, and we let it get away regardless of where we were in our process?
I think they'll think about that as this summer goes along, to be honest with you. I really do, because, you know, like, most people had them winning this series. And right from game one, it was clear the Celtics were there to play, and the Sixers were like, okay, you know, that wasn't us, we'll get it back. And it's hard to get it back in the playoffs. It's really hard. So hopefully that's a lesson learned for them. I think they're going to regret it, honestly.
He's a senior writer at SB Nation. He is also an ultra marathoner, frequent guest here in the Jungle, Paul Flannery. Paul, great job. Nice to have you back. I really appreciate you.
All right, Jim. Thanks a lot.
Have a great day, Paul. Thank you. Celtics over Philly, 114-112. Like I said, I do not root, but I was rooting for Philadelphia. Not because I like the Sixers so much and don't like the Celtics. I didn't want that thing to end. But there'll be more of that going forward. That's no one-off. So the Celtics now have to deal with LeBron. Indiana dealt with him well. Toronto did not. If you're Brad Stevens here, the Celtics, how do you match up with LeBron? How do you see that series? I mean, I can make the argument that top to bottom, Boston is a better team. I can make the argument that Boston is the better coach team. But at the same time, at this point in time, are you going to go against LeBron? If you go up against LeBron at this point, do so at your own peril. That's a dangerous bet, especially in the East. Playing the way this guy's playing right now, can you go against him? And if his supporting cast is doing what they're doing, to Paul Flannery's point, if Tristan Thompson is on the glass and eating glass the way he is, and especially the way he has against Boston, they're going to be tough to beat. If Kevin Love is doing what he's doing now, they're going to be tough to beat because you know LeBron's going to get off. LeBron's going to go crazy again. So if he gets that help from the guys around him, I can't bet against that guy. Not now. Not in the East.